Hello, everyone, and welcome to Great Debates, the podcast where Steve Healy and Dave King debate the great issues of the day.
I already don't like this. Where's Medina?
Medina, Dave,
yeah,
is with his newborn baby.
He had
a baby.
He did. And a huge congrats to Medina and Sally and family. This is like amazing.
This is not what he would want us to do.
No, he'd want us to. He'll come back. We'll get him back in the studio and he'll tell us all about his
incredible. But what would he want us to be doing right now?
Debating.
Okay, jumping right into it.
All right.
With a micro. Okay. I'm putting 4 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
Here's the top.
I miss Medina so much right now.
Steve Healy taking
the
pro.
Driving me crazy with
Mom is more important than dad.
Okay.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro.
Is there a theme to today's episode?
See if you can decipher one.
Okay.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Mom is more important than dad. I'm going to yield my opening statement and turn it over to Dave. He's got a tough case to make.
What are you doing?
Go.
Okay. You're really not going to, you don't want to say anything.
I think most listeners are like, yes, mom is more important than dad.
The greatest men and women in history are often
Jesus,
people.
Buddha, guy who abandoned his kids, guy who didn't have any kids.
Well, if you want to talk about a father-son relationship, let's talk about Jesus.
Yeah, he was the son, though.
What's that?
He was the son.
What do you mean?
And who was more important to him, the dad or
his
mom,
know. Who do you think
Virgin
was
Mary?
More important, the Lord or the Virgin Mary?
I mean, the Pope's been very clear on this, so we have to give a ton of respect to the Virgin Mary.
And why do you think he has to do that? Because everyone understands that the Lord was the more important. I mean, this is an anomalous case.
You could argue that God is also Jesus's mom.
There's a reason that in all of that in many great stories and also in many real case in the lives of men and women who have achieved greatness, the greater pull there is to prove one's worth to the Father. And that when we're talking about actually becoming sort of achieving a lasting mark, leaving a mark on the world, the data shows, and also the anecdotes show, that the absence of a father or a closed-off father or a father who never said, I love you or I'm proud of you, is a bigger motivator in terms of making a lasting impact on the world than that with a mother.
It's tragically common but possible for the father to spend a total of zero time with the child. It simply can't happen with the mother. The mother has to be there for the kid. The mother gives birth to the
child.
What
an insult to single fathers out there. There are plenty of men who raise children without mothers. And of course, like, the mother, yes, has a closer physical relationship with the baby.
You can't be
born. But there are mothers who die in childbirth, and the child still is raised.
You can't be born without your mom. A father can ejaculate, be gone, and you'll never see him in your entire life. But that can't happen with your mom. You couldn't exist without your mom. It just wouldn't happen.
Well, you're making an arbitrary case that, like, oh, you're saying for these 9 months the father could have disappeared, but we agree that either parent could have been gone. It's so crucially formative.
Here's
the truth that people don't want to talk about. I studied child psychology with Jerome Kagan, who's one of the great thinkers of child development in the early years of life, and he summed up everything that he had come to learn about early childhood development by saying, like, parents don't want to hear this, but the reality is there's very little that you can do to make a child's life either extraordinary or horrible in the first few years of their life, short of, like, full-on abuse or negligence to the point of abuse, basically. And so the relationship with a child and a mother, while it may be more important for things that you're talking about, like the traditional things of breastfeeding or the sort of like comfort and nurturing, the reality is that those things, the sort of like variance that we see, is not that large. And in fact, when it comes to having a huge impact on your life, the absence of a father or also having like a nurturing father has more of an impact on one's life in the grander scheme of things.
Kind of interesting.
Also, just a huger variance in terms of just the fact that fathers tend to be more different than mothers makes it more important. Like, the fact that, like, you know, most... what is that noise?
It's a new alarm sound. Slow.
I hate it.
Hey, look, we all wish Medina was here. He's not. However, I'm moderating, and I have to award this debate to Healy. I thought Dave wasted our time with all that information about Jordan Kugelman or whoever he studied under was kind of irrelevant. I mean, it was a cool way to show off that you took a class once, but we didn't really hear anything about the superiority of fathers over mothers. We didn't get anywhere with it. I think everyone sitting at home is like, yeah, mom is obviously more important than dad. Dad has a crucial role to play. It's important to have your dad around, but mom is number one. That's why Mother's Day is a big deal, and Father's Day, you like at the last minute buy some chocolates at CVS.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously think moms are more important, but I had to argue for dads. I actually think I won the debate, but that moms are more important than dads. You're the one who didn't say anything. You yielded your opening statement, and then you just let me run fucking tractor over you through the whole debate.
You ran a tractor in the wrong direction.
Whatever,
you're somebody else.
You're always preaching the importance of misdirection and imagery, and I mean, Jesus Christ, I was all over you on that. But fine, you won, because you're the mom. I mean... We need Medina so badly, and it's so glaring right now.
Look, you know who needs Medina right now? His child.
His little baby girl.
And
true.
His baby mama.
Yeah.
Shout out to them. All the best to them. Are we in host chat? Anyone?
Yeah,
who do I even ask?
So. It's up to you. Producer Mark gives us a thumbs up.
He gives us a go for host chat. Dave, I'd like you to pick a number from 1 to 37.
Why did you pick 37?
Well, because there are 37 oracles in this particular book.
Okay. 22.
Okay, this is freaky. I've asked three people now to do this ever since I got this book of oracles. Every single one of them picked the number 22.
What?
Yeah. I think 22, when you're asked to pick between 1 and 37, everybody's going to go with 22.
Everyone?
Three for three so far.
Well, that is odd. We have a guest in the studio who, when I said 22, his eyes lit up as if to verify that he had also picked 22. Is that right?
Yeah, this is my house guest, Caleb. He's a big fan of the show. He listens to it up there in Victoria, British Columbia, Canada. I ran this by him last night. I always like to rehearse my host chat a little bit. I don't come in cold. So I've been having some downtime at work. Mm-hmm. My show, Beep, the star is having a sickness. She's being treated for breast cancer right now. Shout out to her. Yes, but as a result, we're not working quite as arduously as usual because production's not going. So in my spare time, I started doing some research into the New Testament.
Okay.
And I heard that there was a book called The Gospel of the Gospel of the Lots of Mary, it's called.
Okay.
And this was circulating in like 5th and 6th century Egypt and is basically like a Christian I Ching that you throw a lot or devise a random number from 1 to 37 and they give you a little oracle that's going to tell you your fate. I think 22 is a bad pick. I think you didn't clear your head properly. Clear your head. Come up with a random number from 1 to 37.
What's going on?
Clear your head.
You know that 22 is
bad. Don't say 22.
But you only saying that because...
Don't do 22.
Okay. 20.
Okay. So this is your oracle from the Gospel of the Lots of Mary, 5th, 6th century Egypt. A little longer... And you will receive the fulfillment of your life, for the Lord is your mediator. Endure, and you will receive the hope of your salvation, because the power of God is greater than that of humans, and they will marvel at you.
Right. Okay. Well, I hate that.
Cool. Well, this has been satisfying.
What? So that's supposed to... I don't even understand what that was. That was supposed to apply to me and me only because I picked the number 20?
Yeah, you know, it's just something to muse on in whatever situation you're in.
But is that supposed to be like my, like, I only get one of those per lifetime or something? Like
no, next time you have a thing, you should draw lots from 1 to 37 and we'll check it out.
Well, how do you know I had a thing that required lot drawing now?
Because I put it to you. There's always a thing.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
The book, by the way, is called... Forbidden Oracles, question mark?
Yeah, this is Forbidden Oracles by Anna Marie Lujinjic, who's some kind of scholar over there in Germany, and she's translating 5th and 6th century Coptic texts for us.
So very accessible for all of our listeners. I'm sure everyone's going to run out and buy this one.
I'm not encouraging you to. Oh. Okay, do you want to do another debate?
It makes a great stocking stuffer.
Dave, do you want to do another debate?
Yeah, of course. That's why we're here, man.
Okay, so the theme this week is fatherhood.
Oh, I had a feeling.
And daditude.
Oh, daditude.
Yeah, the theme this week is daditude.
The theme this week is daditude.
Great debate's daditude.
Hashtag daditude.
Okay, so the next topic up for debate, I'm going to put 6 minutes on the clock.
Okay, do that.
And the topic is Dave's dad could beat up Steve's dad.
Okay.
Do you want the pro or the con? You can pick.
I'll take the... Man, I know very little about your dad. Can we get some like tail of the tape before we choose a pro and a con? Or
sure, yeah. What do you want to know? I'll answer any questions you want.
Like, how old is your dad? How tall is he? How... And like, just give me one fact about his physical being.
Okay, my dad is, I think he's 70 years old, maybe 71. And he's probably 6'1" tall.
Okay.
He played college football, D3 college football.
Okay.
Colby College in Maine.
All right, that's interesting.
So those are your facts.
Those are good. How old is my dad? Well, I'll just say, I'll announce, my dad is... He was born in 68.
Okay.
He's going to be 69 in January. Nice. He's like 5'7", if I'm being honest.
Okay.
And he golfs a lot.
Yep.
He's out there.
Eats ice cream every night.
He eats ice cream every night at 9 p.m.
Cool.
Followed by a salty course, which is usually pretzels. And that is usually followed by an additional sweetness. Like a Three Musketeers mini bar or something.
Salty course is followed by additional sweetness course?
Yeah, usually. It
so he has
how...
a three-course dessert dish at 9 p.m. every night.
Usually, yes. That, my understanding is that.
Does he ever combine the salty course? Like, is there pretzel-y ice cream or something like that?
No, I haven't seen him do that, man.
Salted
we got to have him back on.
Yeah.
Or have him on, I should say. Okay. I'm going to take the pro. I want to argue for my dad. I know you thought it'd be fun if like you were arguing for my dad.
Yeah.
But I don't think so.
Okay.
Okay. So basically,
so you're taking the pro. Dave's dad could beat up Steve's dad.
Yeah. Okay.
Go.
Ready? Okay. So first of all, he's got a youth edge. He's 2 years younger. My dad is like surprisingly physically fit for his age. He does golf all the time. He's never had a major injury in his life. Like the worst thing I can think of is that I think he pulled his hamstring once, but he doesn't have any broken bones. He's never had like reconstructive surgery. He has a lower center of gravity than your dad. What's the format we're talking? Can we agree on that? Is it basically just
it's
like
octagon?
The octagon style, two of them get in the ring, no holds barred.
Yes.
Okay. So the thing is that like my dad is not a violent man, but he will take your dad down if he has to. And I think that your dad, like if he's anything like you, and he's probably half like you at least, he's a little too like wiry and thin, and my dad actually has some muscles and some weight. He's not, that's the other thing, he's not overweight. He's like the perfect fighting weight. He's in good shape. I know it's crazy. He has ice cream every night, but he's not at all overweight. And he will take your dad down. He's surprisingly strong. He has very strong legs. He's always prided himself on how, I bet he could kick your dad like in, he would take, that's what my dad would do. He would kick your dad in the leg, sweep the leg, take him down, and then submission hold, it's over.
Okay, Dave, spirited defense of your dad. I like that a lot. Weird that you didn't pick my dad after the one fact that we knew about each dad. About my dad, we knew that he played D3 college football. It's pretty serious football. Your dad has a three-course dessert every night at 9 p.m. There's kind of a kill shot here, though, which is my dad was in the United States Marine Corps. He was not like a infantryman or anything, but he did go to officer training school where they had to learn fighting and, you know, kill tactics. And I think right there that, you know, 9 months of military training trumps your dad. Also, my dad is he's in law enforcement, basically, or he was until he's retired.
Oh, come on.
Your dad is what, more or less a salesman of some kind? A broadcaster for an insurance company, something like that.
He used to
be. And he worked in the news, local news business. You know, not famously tough, the media business.
Okay, let's get some facts straight.
Yeah.
When you're talking about law enforcement, you're talking about your dad is a judge
yeah.
who sits behind
presides over a court
okay,
of law.
Okay, so it's not like he's chasing down criminals in the field. But I actually think that what you're saying, see, this
no,
is...
No, but needs to project stature.
Here's what's
going to
happen. I think you proved me correct. Here's what happens. Your father, as you said, he was a D3. What did he play in college, by the way?
He was an offensive lineman.
Okay, perfect. He was an offensive lineman and
perfect at fighting.
Basically, what did you say he was? He was a Marine. Is that what you said?
He was in the U.S. Marine Corps.
Yep. He was in the U.S. Marine Corps. How long ago was that? 50 years ago?
1972 or so.
Great. Okay, so here's what's going to happen. Your dad's going to get in the octagon, and he's going to either go in a 3-point stance, or he's going to think that he's going to be able to use his Marine training to beat my dad. But he's in his mind going to be using the moves and the sort of like. He's still going to think he has the physical ability of a 20-year-old. He doesn't have it anymore. If he gets down a 3-point stance and tries to, you know, tackle my dad or pancake my dad as an offensive lineman would, he might slip and fall, or he might hurt himself.
You might pancake your dad.
I think this fight is over in about 30 seconds. It's no fault either way, probably, yes. It's no fault of your dad, but if he's going to use the tactics of his Marine training, and why wouldn't he, they're not going to apply to his body anymore. My dad is more in control of his body. He knows his body better.
Wait, what is this based on?
For no other reason other than he's out there golfing, you know, once or twice a week.
My dad goes swimming every not every day, but almost every day at the Denham YMCA.
I don't think that's going to help.
He's in good shape.
I don't see how.
Dude, that's lung capacity. That's endurance. That's legs.
You just said that this fight is over in 30 seconds. So it's not going to be an issue of an endurance. Here's what it's going to come down to: an early mistake, and that's where your dad's going to blow it. I see your dad slipping and falling, or I see your dad thinking he's stronger than he is. He's going to like try to. I don't know.
He's a precise man. What do they do?
What did he learn in Marine training that's going to help beat my dad? Frank King is going to come at your dad with a fury like you've never seen, because that's the problem.
Guy who has additional sweetness after his salty course after his ice cream.
Yeah,
he's going to come at my dad with fury.
And I'm sure that it's kind of a funny joke. But if you want to if we're going to actually talk about who's going to beat up whose dad and have a serious debate about these things, we should know that the diet that someone has isn't that important. Just because my dad has ice cream doesn't mean that he could actually
speaks to his softness. Okay, really. Your dad is a soft man. I think you'd agree with that.
I don't think that my dad is any. I think my dad is a wonderful man and nice man and
sweet
a kind
guy.
Man.
Great guy.
But that doesn't mean that he won't cut your dad down when he has to. And especially if I'm in my dad's corner saying, "Dad, you fucking kill Healy's dad." What's your father's name?
Charles.
You take Charles down. I don't care if he lives or dies. My dad will. If he understands the stakes,
as long as I can have a Three Musketeers after.
You know what? If that motivates him, so much the better. I'll say, Dad, 3 scoops for you tonight. If you will throttle Charles Healy in the likes of which we've never seen before. And he will, because he's motivated. He's strong for a man his age. He's physically capable. I don't think your dad has ever been in a fight in his life. I don't think Charles Healy was raised in the dirty streets of South Boston fighting with kids. I'll tell you one thing.
Yeah.
My father's father, at an age older than my own dad, knocked a guy out on the tennis courts when they got in an argument.
On the tennis court?
Yeah, you're damn right. On the tennis courts of Long Island, there was an argument about who's going to play on which team or something, or whether a ball was in or out.
We want to hear this story, so go ahead.
There was a holiday. I forget there was some holiday 20 years ago or something, and my grandfather had a bruise on his face.
Okay.
We were like, Grandpa, what happened? And he was like, you should see the other guy. Not joking. We were like, what are you talking about?
This was in your lifetime.
Yeah.
Your grandfather got in a physical fight on the tennis court over whether a ball was in or out, and he knocked
the guy out. It was either that or they used to do this complicated thing where they would drew cards from a deck to determine who was on which doubles team, because 8 Altacacas on Long Island would get together to play tennis, and they had to pick teams. And so they got an argument, and the guy took a swing at my grandpa, who apparently held his ground and then decked the other dude, laid him out.
What were the repercussions of this?
No, I mean, I don't know. I think they probably laughed about it.
After punching the dude out?
I mean, he didn't knock him unconscious. He knocked him to the ground.
Okay, so it's post-debate. You get to moderate this one. What do you think?
I think I won, for sure.
Commentary analysis.
Well, I think that there's a good chance that your dad could beat up my dad. I think he probably would. I think it's probably 60-40. But I think that I won the debate because I brought more facts to the case. And I brought, and you were just kind of like you should have brought up that he swims every day. That should have come up earlier. You didn't really talk about his physical fitness at all.
My heart,
and you didn't talk about, like, what? How is he going to beat up my dad? I painted a picture for the audience. Right now the audience is so rooting. I can feel them rooting my dad on to just destroy your dad. Yes, that's right.
You should have led with the underdog.
Your confidence was all you needed to say to paint a picture of him being stronger. But I think you won the debate because you did debate harder for him.
Thank you. House guest Caleb making
Can you summarize his remarks?
He said that everyone now agrees my dad is the underdog, and my passion for my dad, basically, everybody's rooting for my dad right now because of the confidence I showed in him.
I
think it's a beautiful
it
message.
Extremely hard to keep my moderator, keep the debate mindset moving, and debate. I'm realizing the crucial role Medina plays in the great debates without him here.
Okay, well,
I just can't get it up to debate as I'm moderating. Throwing the topics in there. I don't have the spirit.
You're saying just because you have to read 10 words of what the topic is?
I'm trying to guide the episode, keep us moving.
If anything, it should give you a leg up. You were like, before the debate started, you were like, I've got the topics. I'll take care of it.
Okay,
don't worry.
Cool.
So you've had time to think about these and in which order they're going to come out, and you've had your chance to like...
Do you want to do another debate?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Topic.
Okay.
I'm going to put 3 minutes on the clock.
Okay.
A book is a good Father's Day present.
Okay. Are you taking the pro?
Which side do you want?
I'll take the con.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. A book is a good Father's Day present. Look, you don't need to get that much for your dad. You need to get him something that's entertaining, uplifting. Dads love sitting down. They love reading, generally, watching TV. You can't really buy your dad more TV time. You can buy him a book. If he gets to it, he gets to it. If he doesn't, he doesn't. He puts it on the shelf. He thinks of it every time he sees you. It's a compact. He can give it away if he wants to. It's full of some information. There isn't a book in the world that doesn't have something useful in it. So a book is a very good Father's Day present.
A book is never a good gift. A book is homework, a book is a chore. Healy is thinking about, you know, the fucking Roxbury Latin kids that he went to school with and their elitist, you know, super literate crowd that he grew up with, the fancy pants kids that he runs with. But the truth is that most people don't read at all. Most Americans did not read a book last year. Something like 40%, it might not be most, but something like 40%. People do not enjoy reading. They especially don't like enjoying to read books. Anytime you give someone a book, you're putting a burden on them, which is, hey, read this book the next time we talk about it. I bought my dad a book once. It wasn't for Father's Day. It was for his birthday. I bought him Underworld by Don DeLillo. What a mistake. What
terrible
a
terrible choice. That was
a
bad choice.
Yeah, but any choice. Actually, not a bad choice. I said, Dad, it opens with this great thing. It's that he was a New York Giants fan. It's all these.
You can't buy your dad an 800-page novel.
But I said to him, even if you just read the introduction that takes place at this baseball game, I think you'll enjoy it. But what do we? But then
Did
it's
he?
Like.
Did he read it and enjoy
I don't know.
It?
He
Talk
probably didn't. But like, but it's homework. It's nothing more than homework when you buy someone a book. And also, like, a book is something that anyone he could. A book is the kind of thing that people buy for themselves. The best gifts are gifts that are things that people want for themselves but wouldn't buy for themselves. Things that, like, you feel like, oh, I'd be spoiling myself if I got that. That's what makes a perfect gift. No one really says to themselves, like, oh, I really want that book, but I just shouldn't. I shouldn't spend the money on it. That's the mark of
the rich world that you live in. But in a lot of the world,
well, also
$20 for a book is pretty expensive.
Or check it out of the library. Like, you're also, that's the other thing, is you're getting your dad something that he could get for free. And a good dad is a frugal dad. And a frugal dad knows, you just, son, why'd you waste your money on this? I could have gone down to the library and gotten this for free. You wouldn't give your dad a gift that they could otherwise get for free. And a book is one of the only
you're contradicting
things
yourself.
You could
that
do.
Is why you buy someone a book. You buy someone a book because they would never buy it for themselves because they would think, oh, I'll just get it from the library. But when you buy it to someone, you're giving them, it's essentially a luxury good. You're giving them a luxury item that they wouldn't buy for themselves. It's a small,
you
compact,
have it wrong.
Physical
if they
object.
Usually get
you
books,
can give it away.
If they usually
you can
get books from the library,
it any way you
think,
want,
oh,
or you can
wasteful.
Put it on your shelf and think about your son and daughter whenever you want.
The book for themselves.
That is why a book is a great Father's Day gift. It's easy to get rid of. It's easy to take. It's easy to put on the shelf. It's a furnishing for the home. It's a source of information and entertainment. It's a valuable
the idea that it's, okay,
stone
all right.
that represents your son and daughter.
The idea that it's like easy to put on. Oh, I hate that alarm sound so much for the debates. I like that. That's fine for waking up, but for the
thanks.
End of the debate.
Thanks for that clarification. Okay, so talk. What do you think of the debate?
Let's say on the count of three who we think won the debate.
Okay.
We'll co-moderate.
Okay.
Ready?
One, two, three.
Dave. Me. Yeah. Great. Well, we find
analysis, etc.
I feel like you kind of made some good points at the end there about, like, you know, that...
Oh, look, a book is a shitty gift.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
No one really wants to be given a book.
By the way, that's like the only gift I want is books.
Really?
Yeah.
But you buy every book you want for yourself. Our house is chock full of books.
Yeah, but I like having them around. And it's like, to me, I'm like, oh, books, great. Yes, I will keep that around forever.
And
that's
I'm just
nice.
Going on my own experience, which is like, we would give my dad books for Father's Day. He probably wouldn't read them. My grandfather would never read the books we bought him. But sometimes he'd, you know, take them down and show them to us as like, oh, look, they got me this book.
Yeah, but that's but you could do that with any object. You could get your dad a rock.
In a way, I think a book is actually. In a way, I think a book is just sort of like solidified gift concept. Book is pretty much the perfect version. You can get rid of it. You can dispose of it.
You could get rid of it.
You can put it on your shelf. It's come and go. It's like
the great debate.
I wanted to just get
Mark Carosello.
Embodied
the theme song
love,
was composed by Christopher
book.
Knight.
So
the debaters are Steve Healy and Dave
as
King, and the podcast is moderated by Dan
Medina. Okay. If you buy somebody a gift that you can't keep, that sucks. Like a gift that they have to like,
right.
A picture or something. Right. Like,
God forbid it's something they want. Yes, I understand. Okay. I think we're wrapping up here.
We're wrapping up. It's been a beautiful episode. This episode is dedicated to Dan Medina and his new child. When we get him back, he can tell you the whole story about it. We're thinking of you, Dan. We love you. Happy great debates to you all.
If I could recall all the heartaches, dear old daddy, I've caused you to bear. If I could erase those lines from your face and bring